Okay, it's Christmas Eve 2024, and we're going to go up to Frosty's house now to talk to Frosty for a little bit tonight and see how things are going. I had, as you know, Yoichi Shimatsu was on last night, and coincidentally, we grew up in the adjoining communities as kids in Los Angeles. And there used to be, down there, there used to be so many things that were important to our culture. As children, they were larger than life. One of them was the Helms Bakery trucks. They would, all night, these big bakeries, they were scattered all over the city. They had a branch here, a branch there, and they'd bake all night. Cakes, pies, cookies, bread, you name it. And these Helms Bakery trucks would go out door to door. The next day, they'd come right down your street, and you'd hear the whistle, and you knew the Helms truck was coming, and you'd run out to the curb, and maybe your mom or dad would let you get cookies, or you'd get a pie, or whatever. These were still warm from the oven, it seemed like. But so many things on Christmas Eve, I know, come back to people. They remember, and I hope all of you enjoy remembering, because that's important. That counted. All of that counted. Even though it's been taken away from us now, it mattered. And for you younger people who didn't get to experience that, I'm sorry about that. I really am. Everyone deserved to have that kind of chance. Frosty, as a young man, you had things in your life that are gone. We all do. And they were, many of them were very special, very wonderful things. Christmas Eve was magical. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, Jeff, and just really, my heart goes out to everyone this Christmas Eve. It's a real pleasure to speak to everyone across the country and around the globe in Canada. A Merry Christmas, and tonight I'd like to cover two topics. I think they're important because, yes, our youths, if you will, that time when we waited for Santa Claus, that time that we got together with friends and family, always so special. I remember my Uncle Gordon we'd have a big Christmas dinner, and the kids would sit on the card table because the big table wasn't big enough. And we'd have this fabulous dinner, and Grandma and Grandpa and Mom and Dad, and then my uncles and aunts, and all the whole nine yards. But that was a farm scene, and of course that's where I started my life, on the farm. In fact, in Leroy, Michigan, population 500, all of them farmers, and to this day, all these years later, the same. I think it's now down to 491 in Leroy, Michigan, and I still have a farm there, an 80-acre farm that we've had in the family for literally 75 years. And one of the things that I remember in my youth was that Uncle Gordon would dress up as Santa Claus, and he'd have a big sack of toys, and he would come to the windows around this old, it was a 1878 home, twin stories with a big dirt basement, and you can imagine. And it was called the Rose Lake Manor because it was right next to Rose Lake. And then just behind the Rose Lake Manor was the big barn that I used to milk cows, stash the hay. We had the 1949 John Deere B tractor, twin stack, shoveled a lot of cow manure, horse manure, you name it. Cultivated,
mucking the stalls, mucking the barn.
I was mucking the barn, there's no question about it, and you get a lot of methane gas and everything else, but you don't think about it because you're a kid, and then you have a cream separator, and you separate the cream, and then you separate the milk and all that goes with it, and then the big truck would come and pick up, and we milked 60 cows, and my grandfather, Jesse Ward Johnson, was always funny, he was a character, and I remember... This is no kidding. I remember Dick and Bird, our big two plow horses, and I would, plow the back 40. I guess I'm showing my age. But anyway, that was a start of life that I remember so well. Then Uncle Gordon would come in and distribute all the Christmas presents to everyone, and we all got one or two presents, and that just made life so fantastic. And so, yeah, those days are gone now, and things are different. Obviously, everybody in the United States of America, and certainly in Canada, have so many things in their lives that don't even need any presents these days. And really the greatest treasure you can have is to be with your friends and family. And to me, that's really the importance of our lives at this point. And tonight I went to Mile High Church. They had it houses 1,500 people. It was packed. And they have 6 candlelight services. And at the end of the service, with all the singing and all the choir and all the other stuff that goes with it, we raise, everybody gets a candle. And each candle is lit by everybody else's candle from the main candle in the front of the room of the sanctuary. And the preacher, in fact, it was Roger Teal, he gives a toast to peace on earth, and everybody raises their candle, and Sandy and I sit in the back to see it. It's unbelievable to see everyone with a similar sense of let's have peace on earth, and then raise your candle to those we loved and those who are maybe in pain, or they're incarcerated, or
there are a lot of people in pain, Frosty, from these terrible injections for one thing.
Yep.
And then life in general. These are difficult times. 60% of America has to use credit cards to survive each month, and I worry about them because those cards are going to get maxed out at some point. What the heck?
Well,
the
average credit card is over $5,400 right now.
I read it was higher than that, but whatever. Never mind. Yep. You know damn well that Trump has already promised he's going to continue sending billions to Ukraine, billions to Israel, all to kill and destroy. That's all that is. It's death and destruction. Thank you, Donald, in advance, for being such a stand-up guy. Good God, what do we have here? Anyway.
You know, and that's painful for me, and it's painful, you know, especially of my time in the United States Army and during the Vietnam War. I'm very much I'm still affected by the Vietnam War. I'm still affected by those friends that I lost. In fact, my roommate, I think I've talked about.
Yeah.
And so those kinds of pains and that kind of heartache face all of us in so many different ways.
Yes.
And yet, at this Christmas candle raising ceremony, we prayed and we raised our handles to world peace, and we raised our candles to the past and people in our lives and how we're all affected. And that really touches me each year that I do that. And I've been doing it at this particular Mile High Church now for, 25 years. And it's deeply touching. And even with all the things that are going on in the world, we here in the United States are extremely blessed. And I wanted to cover 2 topics tonight, if we could. One is the extraordinary life called It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. And if we have more time, I'd like to talk about Live Life in Radical Amazement.
Very good.
Because this is a time to celebrate the goodness of life. And even with all the things that are going on in the world, and even with all the things that are going on here in the United States, I'm still in pain over one of my friends who died in a climbing accident here in October. I went to his memorial service. There were 300 people, not a dry eye in the place. I cried my eyes out, and he's no longer with us. And yet he touched my life, and I'm always thankful for that. And then, you know, the kinds of things that are going on in New York City, it's painful that some illegal immigrant lit a lady on fire in a subway and watched her die. I mean,
these people are not qualified to live and function in a first world country. They don't have the mental capacity. They don't have the morals, the values, the ethics. They have nothing. They're just useless eaters. That's what they are.
That's what they are. And look what's happening. And I don't know what's going to happen in the year of 2025, but I'm hopeful that there will be some, you're seeing some return. I mean, like Riley Gaines, I wish you could have a chance to interview her, because Riley Gaines is the one woman who can lead America, along with several others. I mean, there's a couple others out there. I think one of them, Schlosser, is her name. But these are women who are very powerful women. They were, you know, they were national champions in the swim, and you've got other great, you know, athletes that are saying enough of this men competing in women's sports. It's a farce. It's ridiculous. It's dangerous.
Why? You know, Frosty, hold on. She's great. I have a lot of respect for her. Why are we even talking about something as obscenely ludicrous as this? Why are we even talking about it? How can this have come to be unless it is clearly planned and deployed against us by the darkest of the dark? This is evil, this kind of stuff, and there's a lot of it out there. Go ahead.
Yeah, it certainly is. And so one of the things that I admonish or beseech or invite every American, certainly listening to this broadcast, hopefully we, you know, Jeff and I on this radio show for well over 20 years, yours truly, we bring common sense. I think we bring rational thinking and critical thinking to any and all subjects. And I really pride myself on having a reasonable, moral, ethical, and decent mindset that understands reality and unreality. And when it comes to what's going on in women's sports, any of those people at the NCAA or any of those people that are promoting transgender men to compete against DNA women is a farce beyond all belief. There should be no discussion about this. It shouldn't be happening across the country. It shouldn't be happening, period.
No.
I wish that all women would simply boycott any sport or any competition, whether it's one single male transgender
DNA.
Matter.
That happened this year. You know, at San Jose State, they put a guy on the girls' volleyball team.
Right. Yeah.
And I must commend, if any of you are listening who are in, I think it was Boise State was one. There were two schools,
State was
I think,
one. Yes.
Both in Idaho. And they literally gave up their chance to win the championship.
They forfeited.
They wouldn't do it. And that's the kind of, we have to do that. En masse, we have to stand up and say, no more BS like this. It's not on the table. It's done. Forget it. We're not going to participate. And let them form their own league of other schools who agree with them.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is this. If all these transgender guys want to have competition, go amongst yourselves. I'd love to see all these transgender guys competing against themselves. There would be a total of one or maybe five people in the stands watching such
maybe,
a farce. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe,
you know, but let's get real about this. And I have been promoting, you know, common sense in this arena. And thankfully, Colorado State University whomped on the transgender male that was in. His name was Blair somebody, I think.
Oh, good. They beat them.
They beat him.
Good.
Yeah, they beat him.
Right.
But again, the brilliance of all of the women that are literally boycotting any of these events in the future and even now and forfeiting whatever it takes to bring sanity back to sports, women's sports in America. We don't need this kind of unbelievably insane behavior by those in power. And that starts with Joe Biden. He's so out of touch with reality, he supports transgender males competing against women. And it's immoral, it's unethical, it's not right. And I think it's going to swing and swing hard back to reality here in 2025. And I'm excited about that. And so hopefully a lot of different things that we're facing in this country start swinging back to norm. In other words, abiding by law and order, abiding by citizenship, and cherishing American citizenship. And if Trump does any one good thing, I'd like to see him deport every single last illegal alien in our country back to their own countries and fix their own countries. And so that's what I write about, and that's what I
No,
I
hope
I take
he
action.
Does, Frosty. I hope he gives them, let me think. I hope he gives them 30 days to get the hell out of here. You know what should happen if they don't leave? They should be put into forced labor camps for at least 2 years each. And they'll work on the national infrastructure. They'll help rebuild roads, bridges, sewage plants, sewage treatment. Make them work. They're here illegally. They are criminals, and they should be put to work in labor camps. If you've got FEMA labor camps, like people say, or FEMA, whatever they're called, put the illegals, give them 30 days to get the hell out of here. That's it. Walk,
yeah, from the 1930s there, FDR started, I think it was called the CCC, Civilian Conservation Corps.
CCC, and that was exactly what it was. But it wasn't composed of illegal invaders, is what we should do. We should penalize these people. Yeah. You've got 30 days to get out of here. And then we catch you, you're going to 2 years of hard labor. That's it.
Then we're going to throw your ass out. We put you in prison, or literally get you out of the country, and then once we have your fingerprint, you're never allowed to come into America ever again because you've broken our laws, you've disrespected our Constitution, and you have been unethical and immoral, and look at all of the consequences that are going on across the country. The two last articles I wrote that are on Rents.com under my category is about the sanctuary cities. They're absolutely unconstitutional. They shouldn't be put into play, and the people that are part of that should be arrested and put in jail themselves. That goes with Kathy Hochul from New York. It goes with Nick Adams of New York City. It goes with Gavin Newsom in
Eric
California.
Adams is trying now to come across as a Republican conservative. He's trying to save his future. It's pretty funny.
Comical, and it's almost insane.
We'll see what Trump is going to do. This will be interesting. I don't have much faith in the man at this point, but he's the only thing we have. So let's hope. Yeah. Let's back him, and let's hope.
That's all we can do. So anyway, this is Christmas, and I am coming off this beautiful candlelight service at Mile High Church.
That's very nice, and the way you describe that. Very nice.
Yeah, I'm thankful for that. And of course, this evening I watched It's a Wonderful Life, which was a movie that was created and put on the big screen back in 1946 after World War II. And since I'm an anchor baby, or not anchor baby, I'm one of those war babies, if you will, you know,
boomers.
Yeah, I'm a boomer. There's no question. I'm a boomer. And I'm really thankful, you know, that my father made it through the South Pacific. He was a U.S. Marine. He fought in the South Pacific in Iwo Jima, in fact, and he lived through that nightmare. And I got to be that baby boomer generation, and we've had quite a run. And, you know, I expect to have another 10 years of the run because I'm pretty healthy.
Frosty, we got to see, and many of you listening are in the same position we're in, we got to see the best of this country.
Yep.
We saw the best of the best, the 50s, the 60s. That was when it peaked. It was at, and then it's been a slow grind downhill ever since. Now it's a precipitous grind downhill. We're really being pushed down hard. And we have to individually stand up. We can't do it en masse. We have no access to the mainstream media to reach out to the rest of the country. They won't allow that. So we have to make each day count and lead by example. And you have friends, you live your life the way you think they might do well to consider, and a lot of them will pick it up. Go ahead.
And so, yes, and hopefully everyone is picking up and coming back to some kind of normalcy. And when you watch It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed, I want to go over some of the things, because that movie actually had a lot of dark aspects to it, and we all go through those dark times, self-doubt, insecurity, not sure what's going to happen. Maybe we lost one or two parents. Maybe we had parents that were really terrible parents, or we had a father who was a drunk, or he beat us, or, you know, I mean, I remember as a college student, I was a barber, and I was a really good barber, and I just charged a buck a head, and I would cut 15 to 20 guys' hair down in the community room on a Saturday and Sunday, and it was my spending money. It was, but I got to hear a lot of stories of guys and their parents and all that goes with that, and I certainly learned a lot when I was teaching in the inner city for 2 years, and then of course when I was teaching in the middle city, I got to see all these things happen, and so. Even in this incredible country of the United States of America, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly that goes on. And yet, you know, during this time of Christmas, whether you feel good or bad or strongly about the divine birth of Jesus Christ or however you interpret it, one of the things that it is a symbol, a Christmas is a symbol of renewal for living and hope and faith. And for me, I think our species needs hope in the face of the multitude of challenges we have created for ourselves in the 21st century. And obviously, I've gone over them many times with you. One of the things that really hurt me just in the last month is the Mangione kid and the executing the CEO from United Healthcare. It really just sickened me. And then you think of 40% of the Generation Z kids supporting the killing of Brian Thompson.
Is it 40%?
Yeah, 40%. It came out on the news. But what that tells me is that their moral relativism will tear at the foundation of our rule of law and a sense of living in a free society. You just can't go around shooting people and think it's okay for your reasons. You know, and like right now, Chicago and New Orleans are the murder capitals of the United States because everyone, it causes everyone to fear for their own lives just walking down the street. Well, that's where, moral relativism ends up, whereas some individual thinks they can go shoot somebody because of their reasons. That has to be really stopped. We need to have people, law and order. We need to have them arrested. We need to have we need to have rule of law enforced in our country and much harder and stronger than we have in the past, certainly the last 4 to 10 years now, because you've got all these things going on, and we can't have that going on. And so this Christmas, many people will spend time with their friends and family, and many other people less fortunate will spend Christmas living on the streets in their rags and tents and sleeping bags. And their only comfort may be a bottle of scotch or a syringe filled with some kind of a drug. Obviously, these are the dark and the dark and the light sides. Hopefully, you are one of those individuals who's enjoying a beautiful Christmas together and maybe a church service or your family or going out to dinner with your wife or your husband and your kids and or friends. One of the people that was up in Alaska with me this summer is Kingsley. We sit and talk about these things, and he was an Outward Bound teacher, and he was up in Skagway this summer, and I've been to Skagway, Alaska on my bike, and we talked about, I told him about seeing that, those 400 caribou, walking across the top of the world highway. How many people get to do that? I was so thrilled to sit there for 20 minutes watching the caribou do what they do up in the tundra on the Arctic Circle of North America. I mean, what a dream come true. And I'm so thankful for that. And so, one of the things that I have found that some of us are lucky and some of us are fortunate, and all of us face nasty persons in our lives, like in It's a Wonderful Life, you remember Mr. Potter. He was the guy that's trying to cut everybody's throat for a dollar. But the one thing that I have found when you get somebody like a Mr. Potter is that nasty people like Potter get their karma returned because they lack honorable friends or family and or standing in the community. So in this It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey, of course, and Donna Reed, they held to their morality. They held to their ethics. They held to that which was good and kind and generous. And obviously, the writer of that particular movie really touched into the negative energy of life and then the negative energy of the life force, but also he moved toward the light. And one of the things I've done in my life is I've always chosen education, hard work and determination to guide me along my life's path. And so for me, if you keep working toward, as a matter of fact, I forget it. I was the guy that, I can't remember his name, but he said, if you think about something hard enough, it will come your way because you're creating the energy patterns that make it happen. And so as you watch the different dark paths that George Bailey walked during that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, you can't help but understand the genius of the writer who created the script. It was actually, his name was Philip Van Doren Stern, and it was originally written back in 1943, The Greatest Gift. And you have to appreciate that everyone that went through World War II, that was our parents. I mean, they were literally hanging on a thread the whole time as millions of people were killed in Europe, and yet we persevered. And so
we should also remember that the movie was produced and directed, made possible, created by Frank Capra.
Yeah, but Frank Capra is the one that was the director and producer. That's correct.
Yeah, and that is that man. All of his films were extraordinary. He didn't make a bad film, I think.
No, he didn't.
They're all good.
He was a genius, and we get to touch on that, you know. And I've watched It's a Wonderful Life, well, at least 50 years. And in fact, Jimmy Stewart, before he died around the age of 80. He came through Denver, and he had just done a book of poetry, and I got to meet him in the line there. They didn't want you shaking hands with him. Oh, yeah. He came through Denver, and he was at Tattered Cover, as a matter of fact.
So
that was a big thrill for me, you know. I've gotten to shake hands with Clint Eastwood. I've gotten to, you know, say hi to Jimmy Stewart. Art Garfunkel I met on a backpacking trip down the Grand Canyon. You know, what a delight, you know. So, you know, some of the people. And then, you know, this summer I got to walk into, you know, Jack London's cabin. Oh, and
yeah,
one thing for anyone
that
who out there is a creative person. It was in Dawson City. I got to walk into Jack London's cabin.
Time warp. That's wild.
Oh, isn't that wild? Yeah. I mean, I literally sat in the same seat that Jack London sat in to write all his stories when he was up there in 1897-98. And one of the things that was cool is the poet of the Yukon was Robert Service, and I took a picture of it because I got to go into his cabin too. He wrote The Spell of the Yukon, and many, many other incredible poems. And he had a sign across his couple of his seats, and it just said, "Whenever you get shuttered, which means rejected, with your whatever you propose to a publisher, don't quit and you'll finally succeed." And so even a man of his brilliant, you know, ability to write poetry, he got rejected and he kept going. And so that experience of what happened in It's a Wonderful Life, no matter how many times you get rejected, if you move forward and you choose not to kill yourself. Of course, Clarence the Angel came in there and talked, you know, Jimmy Stewart out of killing himself because he was so distressed. And so the key here is that we all have these moments of darkness in our lives, and we have to hold on to the truth of who we are, each one of us, and what we are moving forward and trying to do with our lives, and have confidence in our lives and appreciate our lives and understand that if we hold on and if we move forward, we can really move into the light. And so this Christmas, wherever you are in your life, whatever your age, whatever your family and whomever are your friends, just take stock of your blessings. And please know that your friends depend on you for laughter and fellowship, love and heart. And many times they cannot express it, but each person they touch or you touch makes a difference in all of our lives. And that to me is really important, because a civilization like ours succeeds when we respect one another and that we care about each other and we work toward the common good. And that's the beauty of the United States of America. And to me, that's the joy of it. And when I was at the workout today, I do my swim and I do my Lipton weights and I do my elliptical and so forth. And Sandy's on the track and she's talking to the girls that are also doing track. We were sharing and saying Merry Christmas to each other, and we had a fellowship. We had community right there at the rec center where we all lift weights and we swim and they have the climbing wall and all that goes with that. Each one of us that touches somebody else is also, we should give a compliment. You know, that compliment makes some other person's life brighter. And that person may know somebody in Chicago. They know somebody in Portland, Maine. It's amazing because we have such incredible communication in this country. So when we all spread this thing called, Americana, the culture of America, and that we're Americans and that we care about the Constitution and we care about each state. I mean, I care just as much about Alaska as I care about Mississippi, as I care about Michigan, as I care about Maine, as I care about California, because I have friends in many states. I've got friends in Florida. Love them all and have had a lifetime of support from them. Sometimes in my darkest hour, I'll get Greg Roberti. He's in Hollywood, Florida. He calls me up and he tells me all of these jokes and he brightens my life. And so I'm sure that each person listening to this broadcast, you get your life brightened by somebody in Chicago or somebody in Houston or somebody in Atlanta or somebody in Miami or somebody in New York City or somebody in Cleveland. Because every time I turn around, I went skiing last week. Mm-hmm. I went up and people were from Florida, they were from Michigan, they were from Chicago, they were from Texas, and several of them, they knew folks that I knew. I mean, that's how close we are as Americans, and I think it's important that we celebrate that, and I think that this Christmas season, you know, make a phone call to all your friends. They will be delighted to hear from you. Say Merry Christmas to anyone you meet at the store, or anyone you meet going down the street, or anyone your neighbors. I mean, I always, in fact, here in Genesee, Colorado, where I live, everybody puts out their big, beautiful Christmas decorations. Sandy and I send a nice little card thanking them for their. We always say that they get their first place. They get the first place because they put out such a fantastic, Christmas decorations.
Nice thing to do.
And so they get a little feedback, and we feel good about that, and they feel good about that, and it's a wonderful way to have community. And maybe this is a small community. I mean, Genesee, Colorado is a very small community, and yet, hey, we're all neighbors. But then I'm right next to Evergreen, and then I work out at the Evergreen Buchanan Rec Center, and I'm neighbors with them. And then I go down to Golden, and I've got friends in Golden, and we had the Christmas parade, and 4,000 people walked down Washington Avenue, which is high above the street, and they all walked down with candles. 4,000 people with candles. Mm-hmm. They walked down the main street, and then we have big lighting of the lights along the river. It creates community, and it's really beautiful.
Very nice.
Yeah. Isn't that something? Listening to this, you all have the same thing in your own communities, and it's absolutely what makes America so special.
You know, when you congratulate these people on their Christmas lights, how do you evaluate it? Just something you guys like?
You know, there are people. There is about seven houses down from Sandy and me is a fellow. He's got two girls and he's got a wife, and he puts up. It must cost him $20 or $30 a night just in electricity. He has his entire house lit up. He has a giant globe over as you walk toward the front door. He's got a globe like a Christmas ball, and it's all lit up and it's sparkly. He's got Santa Claus. He's got the reindeer. He's got the reindeer pulling Santa's sleigh. He's got Frosty the Snowman. He's got the elves walking all over the. I mean, it's absolutely a display like you won't see anywhere else. And of course, we go over, we knock on the door and say, hey, you outdid yourself again this year, you know, and we thank him and his wife and the kids, and they're all excited because their father, you know, put out this incredible Christmas display. And so that was beautiful. And there's another, it's called High Meadow Drive. It's right along the side of the mountain here because we're up at 8,000 feet. And we have, six or seven of these homes. They do all the trees. They light the trees up. They light the,
well, when you thank they have them, sparkles. You know that you're encouraging them to do even better next year. They'll be back. That kind of response is priceless for them. That's really nice.
Well, again, you know, people appreciate being appreciated. And a compliment just goes so fantastically farther than you realize. When you give that compliment to the cashier who's just working the grocery line, and you love her earrings, or you love, or he might have a sharp, bracelet on or whatever. I just compliment him, and my gosh, somebody noticed. That's important because that ripples right farther than you can even imagine. It just ripples across all of humanity, really.
Oh, sure.
That's
nice. Well, so, it's easy to be kind. It's easy to do little things that make a difference. It's not hard. Most people don't think beyond the end of their nose. They just don't. It's the way this society is.
That's true. And so you can really make a difference. And again, that compliment goes a long way further than you know. And so here's the other one. And for those of you can look it up. It's called Live Life in Radical Amazement. And I think I am so thankful for these, the five senses. But anyway, here's a quote by Noam Chomsky. Optimism is a strategy for making a better future, because unless you believe that the future can be better, it's unlikely you will step up and take responsibility for making it so. If you assume that there's no hope, you guarantee that there will be no hope. If you assume that there is an instinct for freedom, that there are opportunities to change things, there is a chance you may contribute to making a better world. The choice is yours, unquote. I think that's important. You know, when Sandy and I go out, and this morning we just picked up a bunch of trash in the South parking lot on I-70 at the 254 exit as we went over to work out. We picked up a bunch of trash, and, you know, I'm sitting here going, why do these people do this? But they do it. As a matter of fact, somebody left a grocery cart full of trash alongside the road that we drive to get into church. And I'm sitting there going, what? Somebody left a grocery cart. So we picked all the trash out of it, and we took the go-cart or the grocery cart down to the parking lot and left it there. And then some guy took it and carried it 50 yards down to the down ramp. Well, I'm sitting there going, I do not want to have that thing sitting by the down ramp. So I pulled the thing all the way back, and then I put it over the berm, and I'm going to pick it up this spring. But anyway, whatever that guy was doing, he was trying to bait me or something.
Somebody last week out next to I live on a two-lane highway, and I saw somebody with a big plastic trash bag walking along the side of the road picking up trash, and I said, there's Frosty, and I think you may well have inspired that person to do that. It was some guy, and he was picking up trash and putting it in the trash bag.
Oh, that's wonderful. And there's literally millions of trash pickers out there. I'm just one of them. Sandy and I just, the ones that do it here. And that makes the world a better place because we were picking up trash on the 256 exit because we use the 256 and the 254. And some guy stopped and he said, you got an extra bag? Yeah. He started picking up trash with us.
There's just good people out there. They just don't get the recognition they deserve. They're pretty well shunned by the controlled media. They just don't, those things don't get noticed. And what you present on the program and through your work and through life, you've inspired more people than you would ever imagine, Frosty. Ever.
Well, it is. It's a joy to do that because I've been inspired by those before me. And here's the key. Every human being on this planet wakes up each day with choices. At least in free countries, that person enjoys the opportunities in the realm of work and play and friends and attitude. and really, perhaps, attitude may be the most powerful entity of those choices. You know, and during this Christmas season and the new year, let's explore the miracles of being alive. You know, most of us wake up with sight and hearing and touch and taste and smell. And each one of those five senses allows you to enjoy the incredible things such as sight, like a sunrise. Right. I mean, sunrises, some of them just absolutely knock your socks off. But then those sunsets, unbelievably beautiful sunsets that we all get to see. And I always have a camera with me, so I take pictures. And I have one sunset over my bed. I got it into a 36 by 40 because it makes me feel happy. And then I've got campfire shots. So you have that sight where you're sitting by a campfire under a campfire under a starlit sky, or seeing your loved ones and navigating through this world with your vision. So the miracle of sight. Be appreciative, because I've worked in my 24 years as a, you know, National Sports Center for the Disabled. I work with blind skiers, and they don't have any sight. They can't even see where they're going. They just trust their instructor to get them down the slope. So sight, it's just an extraordinary sense. And then you've got hearing. You know, hearing allows you to listen to your spouse or your friends or your kids or even a bird chirping. You may listen to music to start your day. I mean, I love Willie Nelson. I love, you know, Elvis Presley. I love Connie Carpenter. I mean, I love you know, all these great singers. And then you can go dancing because you can hear the music. So hearing allows your body to explore movement and physical, if not, you know, spiritual expression. And then you've got touch. And that may be the magic of holding your lover's hand or guiding your kids down a water slide, or you protect them by holding them in your arms, or touch offers such incredible feelings of being alive. A kiss of your lips to another's lips brings such emotion, such joy, such sensation. To be blessed with the ability to touch, it's pure magic. And hey, taste. Have you ever tasted a pizza out of the oven? I mean, is there anything like a fresh pizza out of the oven? What about that savory apple or a pear or an orange or a cherry or a gob of grapes? Sure. Ah, taste. Delight your senses every time you sit down for breakfast and lunch or dinner. You know, tell me you don't like to bite into a hamburger dressed with the lettuce and cheese and a tomato with a pickle. I mean, for those of you who are hamburger addicts, I mean, wow, what a treat. I personally love fresh mushroom soup. Just absolutely, the taste just tantalizes. Isn't that something? Right. Or what about Italian pasta primavera? Or you might want to go to a Chinese restaurant or Mexican or Thai or another dozen ethnic dishes, and your taste buds do handsprings with all the flavors of the food cornucopia that touches your life. And then finally, what about the smell of coffee in the morning? Can you beat those scrambled eggs, bacon, toast, and jam raging with your nostrils? Smell delights you with its aromas from that freshly cut flowers, that delicious chocolate cake, or fresh batch of chocolate chip cookies. I mean, can anything make you water more than smelling chocolate chip cookies just about ready to come out of the oven? So, tell me you aren't living with radical amazement with all your senses flourishing throughout your body. I think it's just extraordinary.
The sad thing is most people take all of this that you're talking about and describing so eloquently, they take it for granted. They just accept it. Well, this is the way it is. Nothing special here. No, there's a lot special here. And Frosty seems to have all of his five senses ramped up to maximum interface with his being. And you really are hearing somebody who sees and enjoys and relates to life like very few other people. But you can reach this same level if you commit yourself to it. You just have to understand your place on this planet and in the universe. Once you understand that, you can begin to relate to things much better.
And that relate really, it explodes the energy of your being. you know, I my Christmas letter, and you got my Christmas letter this year.
Yes,
and it's got
thank
the, you know, it's got some
yes.
of the. So you're welcome, and you get the sobering aspects of it, and yet Sandy and I are moving forward. And I'm going to have to talk to you on the phone here later on. I've got some new things happening that could be dramatic for
that's
Sandy's
something
improvement.
I want to add to you and your list as well of things to consider.
Okay. Yeah.
Angle.
Wonderful. Because
yeah.
I got this new book. It's called Awakening from Alzheimer's, and this new book is by a Peggy Sarlin, and it's got like 1,000 reviews on Amazon. I just found out about it, and the first two chapters just blew me away. Sandy's been taking two capfuls of coconut oil and MCT oil in the morning and at night. Well, we need to give four. It's the dosage. It's like if you have a cake and you're going to make a cake, and you only if it calls for three, you know, cups of flour, and you only put one cup of flour, it's not going to work. And so I've just increased the coconut oil so that we have more ketosis, which is what fires the brain. Instead of using glucose, you use these perfect fats, and the brain works better on the fats, like virgin olive oil and of course coconut oil. But here's what we're facing right now, this energy wave of the holidays racing toward us at breakneck speed. And you all get to sit down to a big fat turkey or the dressings or the vegetables, the wine, the apples, apple pie or ice cream. Although those things delight your senses. And, you know, one of the things that I think is important is some people get depressed during the holidays, some get excited. There's an old saying by my minister at the church, her name is Michelle Medrano, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. How about looking at the world with high expectation? How about expanding your mind to enjoy the moment you're living? Because it is we're only here for a short time, there's no mulligans, and each day you're using up more of your life. How about making it an extraordinary time by sheer choice? And you set your intentions to accentuate your outcome of your personal life or life in general. And then Henry Ford said this, and he said, if you think you can do it or you think you can't do it, you're right. That's why I've always chosen, I think I can do it. I know I can ride a bicycle across America. I know I can ski down a powder slope. I know I can raft a big river. I know I'm putting myself in danger. I mean, anybody thinks you're not going to be in danger doing all the things, certainly stuff that I've done, that's danger. And yet, you move forward with a sense of, I can do this. You know, so during this season of the heart, life brings you an opportunity, and it brings you an opportunity to reconnect with loved ones. You can forgive people that have harmed you, and it brings you an opportunity for gratitude and inner light and love and deeper spiritual connection. And it's the Greek philosopher Aristotle said this thousand years ago, whatever, when Aristotle was alive. It's called entelechy. Entelechy, E-N-T-E-L-E-C-H-Y, and you can look it up. Just E-N-T-E-L-E-C-H-Y, and I think it's Greek, translated into English, which means to gift yourself to a higher path for your potential. Okay? Gift yourself to a higher path of your potential. You know, now last month, one
spell
of my
that,
friends...
Spell that word. Spell the word. I-N-T-L.
Yeah, E. No, E. E is an echo.
E. E-N. All right,
E-N-T-E-L-E-C-H-Y.
Got it.
Yeah, just look it up on Amazon. Just put in definition of entelechy, which means a gift to yourself to a higher path or your highest potential.
It might be entelechy.
Yeah, entelechy. It's hard to say it. And so last month, one of my dear friends of 20 years, an amazing mountain climber and cyclist, Rufus Miller, died in a climbing accident. And when I heard the news, I literally dropped to my knees and started crying. Because last summer, he bicycled with his wife and two girls from Mexico to Canada. I mean, we cycled together. And he was reading my latest book, The Kickstand Chronicles. And we discussed his favorite chapters, because we both cycle. And we enjoyed so much friendship. And at his memorial, there were 300 people cried and hugged and shared their stories of his remarkable life that touched them all. And I was just sick to my heart. And yet I count my life richer for having known him, biked with him, climbed with him, and sparred over the latest books we shared.
See, by those sharing moments and times, he's part of you.
Yep, he's part of me.
Yeah,
he lives in me, and he lives in all these others that he touched. And so that was that higher path. So I am so thrilled that I got to meet a man of his caliber, share with him, and move forward.
How
and
nice.
He lives on in me.
Very special.
And
right.
There you go.
That's right.
Here's another one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Let me do this real quick. This important word. Don't forget where you are. Entelechy. It's pronounced entelechy.
Okay, there you go.
It's a very important word. Entelechy. Got it?
Yep.
Entelechy.
All right, there you go. It's entelechy.
Entelechy.
Entelechy. All right.
There you go. There you go.
Okay, back to your point.
One of the other things, there was a photographer, but he was blind. He called himself the blind photographer with big vision. So what he does is he takes pictures like the Golden Gate Bridge and then raises everything up in the picture so that a blind person can feel the picture, and that person sees the photograph with his hands.
How fascinating. Yeah, I get it.
In this case, the Golden Gate Bridge. Well, I've cycled over the Golden Gate Bridge 6 times in my life on my journeys, you know, across America and down the West Coast. And again, I know its secrets, its magic, and its higher path. Ted, the blind photographer, shares the magic of the bridge with all those who touch his photographs. I mean, isn't that extraordinary? So, you know, in the end, remember when you go into the world to keep your eyes and ears wide open and be kind. Love one another. Take care of each other. Tell the truth. Always do your best. Listen to the big people and the little people. Explore new pathways and have fun. Know that you are loved like crazy by your dear ones, and give thanks for all of your senses and all of your blessings. And above all, love, and you will do wonderful things in this world, unquote. That's by Rebecca Pugh. I wish everyone to do that E-N-T-E-L-E-C-H-Y. Go to your highest path. Entelechy. And go to your highest path and your highest potential. Always have faith in yourself. And that
so if you don't, who will? That's number one. You bet.
That's exactly right. So, you know, as I sat several hours ago in that church, and I saw 1,500 people raise their candles to world peace and to each other and self-appreciation and to past loved ones, you know, already gone, still here. We all have opportunities to go to our highest path in 2025. I hope each one of you kind of pulls this whole article into your lives and give that power of higher path and your best path and read those who went before you that give you inspiration, whether it's a painter or whether it's a potter or whether it's a poet, whomever, and they will really pull from you that higher energy, those higher vibrations. And as Henry Ford said, if you think you can do something or you think you can't, you're right. And so let's pull to the one and say, hey, I think I can do that. And in fact, know you can do that. And that way you will have a successful life with incredible vibrations, and you'll draw the most profoundly amazing people into your life because they feel those vibrations and they want to get to know you as much as you want to get to know them.
Very, very well said. Very good. That's a wonderful Christmas present to a lot of people. Your guidance and wisdom always makes a difference, and everyone who's listening knows that. Thank you, Frosty.
Thank you.
Give my best to you and Sandy, of course, as a team there. I know you're both working very hard, and keep at it. And we'll talk.
Yeah.
Let me know. We'll give you a call maybe. Well, you call me whenever. You know, you've got
time. Yeah, I got some really hopeful good news,
Okay, very good.
All right.
Okay,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Good night. Frosty Wooldridge, one of a kind, but you can achieve like Frosty does. It's a question of mindset. All right, we'll pause on that note and come right back. Hold on.